on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Think back just over 1 year ago, Sunday, February 24th. We were expecting rain, potential flooding with snow at higher elevations, and it didn't quite work out like that. Snowpocalypse, Snowmageddon, whatever you call it. It was a historic event in Douglas County, and we're going to talk a bit about it today with Todd Muncy of Douglas Electric Cooperative and Sam Carter of Pacific Power. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
And, of course, this time a year ago, you folks and some of your other staff were frequent visitors on the radio. Sam, talk about the first few hours for your staff.
Yeah, so that Sunday evening, I got home from Eugene and could just hear all the trees cracking and popping, so I figured I'd go to the office, and it was already, you know, pretty lively there with, you know, crews getting ready to go out and do an assessment, and we knew power was out to, you know, thousands of customers, but we didn't know the extent of the damage, and so that was just kind of the start of the week.
Now, Todd, while Pacific Power is in Roseburg and a lot of the bigger areas, you've got all the outlying areas. What was it like for Douglas Electric?
You know, I can. I was actually in San Diego when this started, debating on whether or not I even wanted to come back. But at 5:18, I started putting out news releases at 5:18 p.m. And we had a few outages that I told folks, you know, it should be back on by about 8. And then, you know, at 6:15, we were up to 1,600. At 7:15, we were up to 2,000. At 9 o'clock, we're up to 4,800, and then at 11:15 that night, our entire system was down. So Keith was here pretty much by himself, our general manager, and watching as chunk by chunk by chunk, the entire system went down. So it was pretty surreal at that point. We'd never experienced, obviously, anything like that.
You know, last week, as it does on social media, probably for a lot of people, their little Facebook memory picture came up that seems to generate itself periodically. And I saw a couple of pictures that I had taken, one of which was that Sunday afternoon as the snow was starting in our parking lot. Actually, that was probably when I came back, so probably early Sunday evening, but kind of the outline of my SUV in the snow, and you couldn't even see what kind of car it was already, and it was still pretty light outside. And I remember being here part of the day actually preparing for flood coverage and going through some things, seeing this one obscure forecast that called for a foot of snow between Eugene and Roseburg. Turned out that guy was the only one that was correct. Mm-hmm. We talked to him a couple weeks later, but got home. We're supposed to go out past the country club to somebody's house for dinner, and they asked if we were still coming because they seemed to be having a lot of snow. And I asked how much, and when I found out how much snow they had at like 5 o'clock, I said, no, we're not going out there, and I'm going back to work. And Sam, much like you said, I got in here, and the police scanner, which is normally quiet as the church mouse on Sunday night, was just wall to wall. There was trees down, poles down, everything, and people trying to push things out of the road and all sorts of crazy things. This had never really happened like this before.
Yeah, I mean, it was a situation really unprecedented. We have linemen that, you know, have worked there for 35, 40 years. They've never seen anything like it. And the damage was just so widespread. You know, our whole transmission system was basically down. All of our substations were out. And, you know, we really start by assessing the damage, but it's difficult to do until, you know, daylight. And, you know, with all the snow, it makes it even more difficult. So it was a disaster, as everybody knows, but, you know, we all made it through it and got the power back on eventually.
So Todd, how long did you stay in San Diego?
I stayed one more night because I didn't see any sense in being stranded in an airport somewhere. That wouldn't be helpful either. So I got back here fairly quickly. You know, I remember a Facebook post, I think something regarding you losing your car keys in the snow. I think there was something about that, too.
Actually, the car keys that I lost were one of the radio station vehicles because it's just a very small key ring. That was found 12 days later.
After the snowmelt.
Yeah, when one of the neighbors was helping clean up damage and said, what's that over there sticking out of that corner of the snow? And there we go. We found the key. That was common, too.
Well, it was. You know what? And one of the things that the challenges that we faced, Kyle, given the fact that we're north and west Douglas County, is actually getting to our equipment. You know, there was quite a number of roads that needed to be cleared before we could even think about starting to repair and restore power.
Yeah, and for the weather data, we hadn't had this much snow in 50 years, late 60s, 68, 69, back in there when Roseburg got a lot of snow, as did much of Western Oregon then. Many people who had been here, like you said, Sam, for a long time, this was just like new ground. People were trying to find supplies. People were trying to find stores that were open. Some of the stores would stay open but have to cut their hours because they had backup power that would work during the day, but it wasn't enough light to be sort of safe and secure in the evening, so they were closing early. I remember Safeway north of us was at one point the only store open in Roseburg, and it looked like, you know, it had been looted.
Yeah.
It was just an unusual situation. So what did you guys learn from this for Pacific Power?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things that was a challenge, like you mentioned in the beginning at least, was just finding, you know, food and shelter for the crews that we had coming in from all around the area. You know, hotels were without power, restaurants were without power. So just feeding and, you know, housing, you know, we had up to 350 people at one point in time. That was, you know, one of the things that was a challenge. And, you know, we ended up bringing in a company to basically prepare food on site for all the crews. And that really helped out. And, kept everybody, you know, fed and happy.
So did they have like one of those mobile facilities sort of like they use with the Forest Service and big events?
Yes, it was similar to like they would set up for a fire camp, and they came in and set up their trailer, and just I think the first night we had steak and potatoes, and it was much appreciated by the linemen who'd been working, you know, multiple hours. So,
and I remember, Todd, you were talking about, because of the rural areas, some of them taking a long time to get to, and so once folks got into an area, you guys had very extensive damage in comparison. It was easier to stay put and work a longer shift, but you also had to get food to those people too.
It was not uncommon at the end of the day to be running pizzas out to, you know, Elkhead Road, running lunches over to Reedsport. You know, they're in Loon Lake, you know, working those areas. So a little bit different in that we couldn't kind of, you know, circle the wagons and feed everybody and then get them out of there. We had to go out to them. That's something that logistically, along with fuel and supplies, are some of the things that next time around we hope to be better prepared for.
One of the things that I heard come up, especially at the front, and I'm curious if it affected either of you guys, was because of the extensive power outage, depending on where people, especially companies, would normally get fuel from, some of those places couldn't dispense fuel.
Correct. You know, and I have to tell you, and props to the Farmers Co-op up there in Tammy, they pretty much stopped selling diesel to anyone except our trucks or the contractors that were working with us, and that was huge. That was huge to be able to have that source. Elkton, All three lines, transmission lines, the redundancy heading into Elkton were all destroyed. They had no fuel. Reedsport, you know, fared a little bit better for the coast, you know, the coastal folks over there, but still quite separated from what we needed around here. So, yeah, you think about those things, and you think, okay, where do we, for the next event, whatever that is, where do we have those resources available to us when we need them?
Sam, what about you guys with fuel?
Yeah, fuel wasn't as much of an issue with us with having fuel on site. It did get a little bit touchy at one point, but we were able to pull through. And, you know, like Todd mentioned, this event, you know, although it took some time to get through, you know, another event could be even longer. And so how do we learn from this and make sure that if there is a longer drawn-out event, how do we be more prepared? Because fuel will become an issue.
Along with fuel, what are some of the other things you have learned for the next time?
So, you know, I think that one of the things that we learned was, you know, just really trying to get out ahead of things and assess as much of the damage as possible so that we know what needs to get fixed. And, you know, the other thing, too, I think that we learned is how we can count on each other throughout the county. It was amazing how people, really the community, came in and supported, and really formed a lot of stronger relationships with our community partners like the county and the city, emergency management. And, you know, one of the things that we've identified too is just how do we kind of increase our communication so that we can, we Pacific Power can make sure and communicate to those key individuals that are coordinating other efforts to, so that they know where is the power on, where is it out, and that helps them with their efforts. So,
Todd, what else did Douglas Electric?
You know, and Sam hit the nail on the head. When you have a situation like this, you see community come together, you see businesses come together, our members, you know, helping other members. You see, and not to put a negative spin on that, but you see the people that, that are going to go above and beyond without being asked. You're also going to learn some things about contractors. You know, who are the best contractors out there for you when it comes to supplies? Who went the extra mile for you, and who can you count on next time you need something like this? But primarily, absolutely, to see people come together and help each other was quite remarkable.
So what about ways to respond better? You mentioned trying to assess damage quicker. It's hard to do, though, in a situation like that.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's something that you want to do. You want to know exactly, you know, what the damage is out there. And but it's difficult with all the snow. And we did use a helicopter at one point, but that was just a short window where the weather had subsided. But that was even kind of difficult to get up and do our inspection. But yeah, it's a difficult situation all around.
And Todd, you know, we've talked about repairing things, but really for a big chunk of your area out towards Elkton, you had to just start over like nobody'd ever put power there.
Well, we did. We had, you know, transmission lines underneath 2.5-3 feet of snow, and then when it started to melt, they just became mud box. You know, and I want to say before we go any further with regard to Sam and talking about working together, we have a great relationship with Pacific Power and Douglas Electric. You know, that came to fruition, or I guess was exhibited during this event as well, insofar as working together however we could. But yeah, I mean, out there and logistically, you know, when you've got, we went from 36 employees to 184. So logistically, when you've got trucks lined up on Roseland Avenue and you're trying to supply them, get them in, get them out, and keep the system working and everyone going in the same direction, it really was quite remarkable. We've added crews to try and address trees outside of our right-of-way that look like danger trees, trouble trees, and then contacting private landowners to see if we can take them out before they fall. So other than that, just keeping the system up, and then, again, what we're all talking about here is how do we respond to the next event, again, whatever that is.
Going to take a break at Inside Douglas County Part 2 with Sam Carter of Pacific Power and Todd Muncy of Douglas Electric Cooperative. When we come back, the interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson at 1, talking health later with Lisa Platt. And on tomorrow's program, State Senator Dallas Hurd will be on Inside Douglas County. Sam Carter, Pacific Power, Todd Muncy of Douglas Electric Cooperative. Going back to the snowpocalypse, Snowmageddon, we can't seem to really agree. Those are the two top words I've heard from the storm, but nobody's totally on the same page for that one. What about the resiliency of your crews dealing with these situations? It's one thing to have a tough 20-hour day. I mean, even in business where you're in an office, people have done that sometimes, but you're out in the bitter cold and snow, and but then you keep doing it for, especially in the case of some of the Douglas staff, 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, and you're coming home, you know, in some cases to a dark house, and because you have no power, and your clothes are soaking wet. So before you get back out there and do it all again, we had a motel in Sutherland that for our crews, not our crews, but our contract crews, were actually literally doing their laundry and drying their clothes. So they had it a little better off than some of our own crew did. But those are things that you don't typically think about until things like this happen.
Mm-hmm. Sam?
Yeah, I mean, the long days that you talk about, these guys were, you know, there's a lot of adrenaline in the beginning of the week, but that kind of subsides pretty quickly. But they're working long days, and but they're rock stars. I mean, they are used to working long days, but only, you know, you can only take so much. And but they did a great job, and they did it safely too. I mean, that's a key aspect, is even though we want to get the power on as fast as possible, safety is a big deal, and they did a great job.
Especially when you're talking about things like electricity. I mean, you have to do this, this, and this before you do that. And if you try to get ahead of yourself, that's not a good thing.
Well, and I'd like to mention too, you know, safety, like you said, I mean, safety not only for our crews, but the public. And, you know, part of our fear is that people, you know, kind of maybe become a little bit complacent after an event like this, because there are power lines down across the streets and people are driving over them because they know or they think that power's out throughout the area. But, you know, we strongly recommend to not do that, because you don't know if that line's energized or not, and it's a huge safety issue. So if you ever see a power line down, just stay away.
Todd, what about feedback from customers and all this?
You know, to spin on what Sam just said, we our inside staff, yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our inside staff as well, that, you know, whether they're making sandwiches or dealing with the members coming in the door, you know, the phone calls, so on and so forth. You know, we took a survey actually in November, which was a little risky, and find that about 9 out of 10 people still think we rock, you know, still think we're doing a great job. 1 out of 10, not so much. And, you know, during the storm, people were just hungry for information, and it wasn't always positive. But overall, I think, you know, the vast majority of our members understood the severity of the situation and were very, very understanding and supportive, you know, of what we were trying to do out there.
And Sam, I know sometimes people, especially maybe closer in, see that person across the street with power 2 days ago and wonder why theirs is not yet on. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, there is some frustration that builds from that. And it's just, you know, hard for people to understand how the electric lines are ran and different circuits. So you may be on a different circuit than your neighbor, and that can be frustrating for sure. So, you know, but, you know, like Todd mentioned, you know, we had just amazing support from our customers. And yeah, there's frustration, but overall, you know, we had people thanking, you know, linemen out there in the field and telling them good job. And it really, you know, makes you feel good that you're, you know, working hard, and there's some appreciation out there.
So Todd, what was the area that had a power outage the longest? How long did that last?
It took us 3.5 weeks to restore power to the Loon Lake, Ash Valley area. You know, this is going to sound right, but they're kind of used to it. I mean, they live out in the most rural parts of Douglas County, North 10 Mile Lake, Loon Lake, Ash Valley. They're kind of used to trees coming down and taking the lines down, and sort of used to being the last ones to have their power restored. They're probably the most understanding of all the members that we have, because they live it every day. And when you do move out into the rural areas, you need to be thinking about what you're going to do for heat and water in the event that something like this happens.
What about for people who have medical apparatus at home due to their condition, whether that's oxygen machines or other things that need power? That situation should have been a wake-up call to have the appropriate type of backup.
I'm not sure a generator is a good investment, but if you're in a situation like that where you have a medical condition and you need backup generation, it kind of surprises me sometimes how many people don't. And, you know, we can go out and fix the lines that go up that driveway of that person's house, but if the transmission lines are down 2 miles away, it doesn't really matter. You've got to be prepared in the event of a medical situation like that.
And one of the other aspects, Sam, was, as Wayne Stinson talked about, has for years, but talked about during that situation, is just food and things like that, because as we all found, even people that live right here in town, not everything stayed open.
Yeah, the basic, you know, the recommendation from emergency management folks is to have a 2-week supply of food and water, and to plan for an event that might last that long. And you talk about, you know, people with medical needs, you need to make sure and have your medication to last that long, and people with oxygen to have spare oxygen. So it's definitely something that I think we all learned that we could be better prepared.
So going ahead, what are some of the things we've mentioned, some of them already, but got about a minute and a half left. Other things people should do to be ready for, whether it's snow or something else, when they lose power for a long time?
Well, I just think being prepared for the 2 weeks like we talked about, and so that you can ride out this event, and it can happen at any time. Certainly the winter is probably you have a higher chance of that happening, but if we have an earthquake or something like that, then it can happen at any time throughout the year. So we always need to be prepared.
I think, where do you go? What do you, who are you looking for? What are your resources for help? Tamara Howell with the county, Jared Corden with the Superintendent of Public Schools are in the process of organizing, whether it's Red Cross. There are a lot of resources out there. Some that, are just kind of working in silos and getting those people together. Where's your warming center? Who do you call for help if you actually need to be removed from your property? I think those things are probably key for the next event.
Yeah, and I'd also mention that, just to kind of put a plug in here, Douglas Electric, Pacific Power, and Avista are going to be working to hold a community emergency preparedness fair on May 16th. At the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And there's going to be quite a few, not vendors, but people with booths representing all different, facets of emergency preparedness there that community members can come and talk to and learn more about that.
Sam Carter, Todd Muncy, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank
again.
You.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240, KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.